This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
After the hour, welcome into the whole show powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Let's get after it today, man. It's going to be a fun Friday. We're building up. We've got the schedule now for the Nuggets Timberwolves round two matchup. So we'll get into some of those details. What you should know now is that tomorrow it's going to be an earlier game. It's going to be a 5 o'clock tip off. And we'll have, of course, the pregame coverage and all that stuff for you at 4:30. But at least we've got that. So game one will be tomorrow evening, 5 o'clock. Game two, Monday night, a late one, 8 o'clock. Game three would be next Friday at Minnesota. Again, the first two games are going to be home, where Minnesota is 3-7 inside Ball Arena since 2021. So, and then game four would also be at Minnesota Sunday, May 12th at 6 o'clock. So here we go. We got the time set. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Angel and I both said 7. Did we both say 7? That this thing ends in 7? Why am I feeling a lot better today? I think Tuesday after the Nuggets closed it out, I was so just, I need a break. They certainly need a break. I don't know how this thing's going to go down at that point. Why am I feeling better about everything? I know Anthony Edwards is getting a lot of play right now, and he's paying the Nuggets all the compliments. He's not doing the heel thing right now. He said Joker's the best player in the NBA, but they don't win a championship without Jamal. I take no offense to that. I think that's probably true for most that, you know, go back to last year. Everybody that contributed, you could almost say that's fair. Maybe you say Jeff Green, they could have found production elsewhere. But I think everybody on that roster, that's kind of the way this thing goes sometimes. You know, when you have a great team, everybody on that team, you take one guy off, you know, at least 1 through 8, and you're not winning a championship. So he's saying the right things. He's not doing the heel thing yet, but I'm sure that will come out. Little D-Generation X action.
Yeah, and I don't know how much of that was just what was going on with Phoenix and, you know, the trash talk with him and Kevin Durant. I'd imagine there's going to be some of that talk. I know Jamal Murray mentioned, like, yeah, we like to talk and it's all fun and respectful with each other, but these players, they, you know, I want to listen to a mic'd up basketball game just to hear how they talk to each other, because it can't be family friendly, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And this feels like us as fans, we kind of maybe see this as a rivalry. I don't know if the media or the national people see this as much.
No, because they're not two big markets, right?
Right.
And I, you know, they're paying attention now. Anthony Edwards is obviously getting a lot of clout, a lot of attention turned his way. Joker, slowly but surely, is getting more and more. But yeah, I don't know if people look at this the way we do. I mean, we go back to when Minnesota knocked the Nuggets out, game 82. I think it was an overtime game. Mm-hmm. Minnesota wins, and that's it for the Nuggets. And then after that, they made the playoffs every year since. We're documenting that. I don't know how much the national media is really paying attention, but these teams play each other a lot, you know. And four games this in the regular season, they split those games. So this is setting up to be maybe the series. You know, there's, again, looking way down the road, Nuggets Celtics in the championship would be epic. Still got to have everything go the right way, but
are we so sure about the Celtics?
Don't know. The Eastern Conference, man. Look at the Sixers are done. The Bucks are done. That didn't work out. Doc Rivers experiment. They got worse, and I know they had injuries in the playoffs, but they got worse once they hired Doc Rivers, which was still just a mind blowing thing.
What do you do as Damian Lillard? Like, this is not why I left Portland.
You left Portland to be a contender, and you were booted in your first year with Milwaukee. You were booted in the first round. That's got to be tough. You know Portland fans are happy about that, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, this is what you wanted?
They'll cheer him when he's there and then boo him when he turns around.
You could have done that in Portland. You could have just stayed in Portland.
It'd be a first-round exit there.
And they were. That's kind of where they were. You could have tried to keep Nurk in line and all that stuff, and maybe you're still a first-round team, but you're getting booted. So, Wild, you know what? What have the playoffs told you so far?
That the West is better than the East.
Yes.
I think the West is a little more balanced, maybe. You have the young team with the Thunder. You have the Clippers-Mavericks series where it's, okay, we're waiting for the Mavericks. Are they for real? The Clippers, can they put together this old school squad and try to make something of that, but none of them are healthy at the same time? The Nuggets, they're defending champs. We're not going to talk about them because there's nothing to talk about with them. And then the T-Wolves are... Oh my gosh, we love Anthony Edwards. He's the new face of the league.
Yeah.
You know, he's mini Jordan, whatever you want to call him. So we're all about that.
And we all kind of forgot about talking about OKC right now because they've been done for so long.
Right.
You know, even a little bit further on that point, Angel, the NBA is telling us right now super teams don't work. And I think that's a great thing because the NBA, obviously, with their CBA, you know, really trying to make it so you can't have three superstars on a team. And some people go, okay, well, you're forcing the hand of these teams to try to spread it out, or forcing the league's hand to spread it out. Well, I don't think that's such a bad thing. Super teams aren't really working. It's the teams that grow kind of organically and then add a piece or two to that, just like the Nuggets have done. They were an organic team. Joker, MPJ, Gordon, you got Watson, you've got Christian Brown. No, those are your organic guys that you picked up in the draft. And then you add a KCP and maybe I said Gordon, but you traded for Gordon. So you're just adding these pieces to that. So that's kind of what Minnesota's doing. Rudy Gobert was an added piece to guys that they draft and pick up. Boston, certainly, for the most part, an organic basketball team. It's building guys up through your system. And, you know, when you hear the Lakers, who was it, Rui, that came out and said, yeah, they're great. I mean, they've been together for so long. Almost like that was a knock on them. Mm-hmm. That's the highest compliment you can pay, I think, an NBA franchise, is to say, well, they've been together so long. We found a bunch of guys that buy into the system, and we worked out the right contracts with the guys that needed the right contracts and added those necessary pieces. So the trend in the NBA, like, what's Matt Ishbia saying? That 26 other teams in the league would trade their entire roster today for the entire roster of the Suns?
No.
No way. No way, dude.
We've explained why it doesn't work.
It just doesn't work. There's not enough basketballs. You can't have that many ball-dominant guys, which would be the only knock you and I were talking about. Like, if you do bring Luka in, again, we're not there. Jamal's her hero. We're done with that for today. But that's the knock, is like, does that work? I think anybody with Joker would just become that team player. And Luka is. It's not like he's a slouch, dude. He averages almost 10 assists a game. But you're telling me that, so what? He said 26 out of, what are there, 30 teams in the league?
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying only four teams wouldn't trade their entire roster? I there's no way Boston would. There's no way the Knicks would. There's no way the Pacers would. I don't know. Would the Bucks trade their entire roster over? That'd be doing the same thing.
I don't know what the Bucks are doing.
The Nuggets obviously aren't trading their roster. The Thunder aren't trading their roster. The T-Wolves aren't trading their entire roster. The Mavericks aren't trading their entire roster. That's seven teams right there.
The Lakers?
Maybe. They want LeBron. They just want LeBron could die there, and that's what they want. You know, not to die, but he could retire there.
Sure,
that's absolutely what they want. I think they're more about, like, is Sacramento trading their entire roster for Phoenix?
No, they're like, again, it's the trend of the NBA where you're building your team with your own guys, and then once that group can do something or show you something, then you add in the pieces. Like we've seen the Nuggets, their core three with MPJ, Murray, and Jokic have had five playoff runs or three playoff runs altogether, but throughout those runs, even if they made it through the first round or made it just to the second round, every single year they were adding a piece, and that experience especially with Jokic, because he's had the most out of all of them, it's paying off now where you're in these moments where, okay, we're down 20, it's game two, we can go still win this game. It's that confidence that this team has, but they don't carry it with a cocky type of attitude.
No, and I think we're going to see this wave in the NBA. I mean, it was all when – so Boston really did the whole big three thing back with KG, and Pierce was already there, and they're bringing in Ray Allen, and then they end up getting Rondo. That was the trend. And then LeBron doubled down on that. And then you saw the Brooklyn Nets try to do that with KD and Kyrie and all that. Now I think you're going to see a wave of, okay, hopefully we can draft a star, and that's going to be our face. And then we're going to hopefully either draft or pick up a secondary star. Not one of these like super mega guys like Paul George and Kawhi. Like, those guys are good, but you really have to work them into your basketball game. And I think with the way the game is being played right now, you have to find guys that are just as happy passing the basketball and setting screens and doing the little things as they are if they have zero touches. That to me, we're starting to see that trend in the league. And I think that we're going to continue to see teams building more from the Nuggets model and, you know, going further back to the Spurs model. Getting that team-oriented basketball. I know it's cliche to just say they play as a team, but they really do. I mean, Joker's the MVP of this team, and the pick and roll that they called, or the pick and pop kind of at the end of Game 5, Joker is 100 million percent good with not taking the final shot. 100%. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys that might say, "Yay, good job, Jamal," but then they go off to the locker room and they're like, "What the hell? I'm the guy."
Right.
And that's non-existent. And I do think that you're going to just start seeing more and more of that with these teams.
Yeah, and even going back to with Minnesota and Denver, they compare a lot with each other with the way they've built their roster. But Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns were both number one picks.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray was 7, then MPJ was 14. And then obviously Jokic in the second round.
Well, the Nuggets are so interesting because their two best players, and I'll put my Aaron Gordon argument aside for right now, but their two best players were guys that weren't necessarily the plan. I mean, Joker, we all know that story. Drafted in the second round, you had Yusuf Nurkic as your big man. He was the starting center. Joker was coming off the bench. Maybe he's going to be, they tried to do it. Hey, let's put him in a power forward and try that. That was awful. And then Jamal was taken at 7 the year or two after Emmanuel Mudiay. Mm-hmm. Mudiay was supposed to be the point guard. And then Jamal, we drafted, he was KCP. We're going to put him at the 2. And then that didn't work out, so you move Jamal to 1. So, but that to me is also a testament to Tim Conley at that time and evaluating your guys and saying, okay, this was the plan. Let's quickly scrap that plan and go with this plan. And they took MPJ because his injuries, he fell to them. So, yeah, I think Conley would even tell you there's a lot of luck involved in building this thing. Nobody thought, except for that one guy I shared on Twitter the other day, Angel, nobody thought Joker was going to be a superstar. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they thought he could be good. You don't draft a guy and just go, oh, no, that's totally a guessing game. No, they did their homework and they liked him. But they certainly didn't think he'd be an MVP. Even Conley will tell you that. So there's a lot of evaluation that goes on in what you're drafting. It doesn't always, you know, top five picks doesn't mean everything. That's the case with every draft in these leagues. But I just think it's exciting to see it. You know, I wrote something up years ago on one of my blogs that I try to do, where the Nuggets are catching the Warriors on the way up, and the Warriors are kind of going on the way down. But they also have the Warriors to thank for that, because the Warriors started to do what we saw with the Spurs. The Warriors drafted their guys. Draymond, Steph, and Klay were draft picks of theirs. And then they went and added an Andre Iguodala and ultimately getting a Wiggins over there. And this has been, and they did do the Kevin Durant thing for 2 years. They got two championships out of it. That is going to be the big thing, is we bring a superstar here to be a part of the team. We're not bringing a superstar over to rewrite the book and start from scratch, and you're the guy we're building around. That's what you're going to see more of. That's why the idea, like some people throw out the dream scenario, LeBron James in Denver.
No.
It doesn't work. You know, that doesn't work. Kevin Durant, it doesn't work. 5 years ago, you might have salivated at the idea of a KD or a LeBron or even a Damian Lillard coming to Denver. But now you just go, okay, if you're inserting that superstar is going to have to, you're paying him to play like the face of the team. And you're just not going to do that. I mean, the idea of Luka is far-fetched mainly because I don't see Denver management, the front office, Calvin Booth, and then obviously Michael Malone has a real strong voice there. I don't see them wanting to break off of much of what they're doing. You know, they probably will re-sign Jamal. If I had to make a prediction today, his contract year is next year, I wouldn't be shocked whether they win the title or not if in the offseason one of the first bits of news we get is that Jamal signs a 5-year deal. And then I think Gordon's got he's got another year and then a player option maybe. Mm-hmm. Porter's the longest guy. Like, he's got the longest contract right now. So you're going to figure out what to do with KCP. But the bottom line is, this is the trend we're seeing in these playoffs. Just because you go out and get arguably a top 10 player in the league, that does not just instantly mean you're going to win a title. 21 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. The good for me is, I'm just going to say that we have the schedule set. And we know what's, you know, Saturday, we've got it ready to go. It kind of brings a feel of, all right, 5:00. This is when this thing starts off. We kind of know. And it's also been good. The playoffs haven't been good, but they've been full of storylines, Angel. They've been extremely entertaining. You know, so a lot of blowouts, but I think the side stories have been the most entertaining. Seeing the Sixers crumble, seeing the Bucks crumble, seeing the Lakers crumble, and of course LeBron's now making himself the news, just like he did last year after the Nuggets knocked him out. He knows damn well what he's doing. You know, with the whole free agency talk, he knows. But overall, I'm happy about the schedule. I'm excited for round two. The bad for me is NBC is reportedly offering nearly twice what Warner Brothers will be offering for the NBA media rights deal that will now be up for grabs at the end of this season. So the future of the inside the NBA on TNT crew and production is up in the air. A report coming out today that this was from awfulannouncing.com, and they do some legit stuff, that Ernie would stay with TNT. That no matter what happens, he would stay there. So he would do all their college stuff and all their other sports that they do outside the NBA. Charles Barkley said he'd be a free agent, but that inside the NBA on TNT, or just inside the NBA, wouldn't be close to the same without Ernie. That is the best group as far as NBA guys that are previewing games, halftime shows, and postgame shows. The best. That ESPN does not hold a candle to what they do. So hopefully we're going to be in a world where it's still Ernie and Kenny and Shaq and Charles. That four-man combo has really proved to be something special. The ugly for me, the Rockies are swept, and now we're just left wondering, not only are the Rockies going to be terrible, Angel, are they going to make history again? I mean, that was their worst year last year. They are on pace to be way worse than that. And they have a team meeting yesterday after the Mariners' loss.
Yeah, team meeting behind closed doors, no press, post-conferences, anything like that. They've trailed in like 30 consecutive games.
Yeah, I think it's 31 now.
Yeah, I didn't think it'd be great. I didn't think it'd be bad. I didn't think it'd be this bad.
I mean, are they at 7 wins still? They're stuck on 7?
Yes.
I thought for
sure.
It's been
over a week since they've had a win.
Yeah, man, I thought for sure. I thought, honestly, they'd be sitting around maybe the 11 to 12 mark right now. I think that's about where they were last year. But this team still has yet to win a series. They've yet to win 2 games in a row, which is part of not winning a series. It's bad, guys. It's really bad. I last year I said, at the end of the season when you knew, yeah, they're 7-23. At the end of the season when you knew it was going to be bad, there was part of me that was just like, make it hurt then. go lose 100+. That's got to wake somebody up. And when I say wake somebody up, if Dick Montfort's going to continue to be the owner of this team, you got to do something different with your general manager. I mean, that Bill Schmidt is still unproven. He did the Chris Bryant thing. He said, Chris says, wonder if Bryant made the meeting. Yeah, what does he have to say in this kind of meeting?
He is not currently traveling with the team.
Trailed it. So the longest active streak, and I got this from B-Rad, thank you, trailed at any point in a game is 37, so it's dating back to last year, I'm guessing. 37? They've trailed at any point in a game, 37 games in a row. The next is the Diamondbacks with 11.
Yeah, and, you know, we always talk about the Rockies' first couple of months. It's okay, yeah, it's new, it's exciting. We're getting into the months now where school is out, kids are back home, families are together. Hey, you want to go to a Rockies game? Nope.
Not good.
No, they're bad.
Yeah, I don't
so
know.
I'll be very curious to see what the turnout is over the summer to
gauge
the interest.
I looked at the attendance, and I think they're obviously at the bottom, you know, they're in the middle, but the lower portion of the middle. And we'll see how that, if that changes things. Like you said, when the kids are out of school and you're planning summer stuff, you might buy some tickets. I'll be interested to see how that goes. But the only thing that's going to really scream loudly here is ticket sales. 26 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle is going to join us from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. CSU basketball. Getting, from what I'm told, a really good player in the portal. We're going to talk about the latest on the Mountain West. What has stood out to Kevin as far as the Mountain West transfer portal situation, CSU football, or getting a handle on what that depth chart might look like. All that coming up, a lot of CSU talk at the bottom of the hour. It's a whole show powered by Chevron, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear it again. Podcasts are available at 1310kfka.com.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Black hole sun, won't you come? Wash away the rain. Black hole sun, won't you come? Won't you come?
31 minutes after the hour. Welcome back in to The Whole Show powered by Chevron. Here's a little interesting factoid for you, Angel and Hooligans out there across the world. LeBron's playoff record head-to-head versus a lot of the studs of his during his time when he played, he's 11-17 against Steph. He's 5-9 against Kevin Durant. He's 5-11 against Duncan. He's 5-7 against Kawhi, 2-4 against Dirk, 6-6 against Kidd. Yay, 500 record. And he's 5-9 against Joker. But just those guys who were kind of the studs of their teams and the teams that were kind of competing for championships along the during the time that LeBron was, he's 39-63.
Yeah, I mean, when you put it all in the perspective, it's okay, you had the one series against the Mavs. You could cancel out the two Spurs series in the finals. He could cancel out the Golden State ones, and then bubble.
Yeah. Yeah, bubble. Bubble was their claim to fame, LeBron's claim to fame there.
He's got all the numbers, but when you look at his records, there are a lot of negatives.
Yeah, he plays a lot. And I'll give him the one pass is that he's, what is he, 39?
Yeah, 39,
so
40.
So he's in a lot more playoffs than Jordan ever was. Like, he's in a lot more of those. But when Jordan was going to the playoffs, he packed a punch. You know, once he started getting in shortly, I think after like, what, the first or second year, he's winning championships. And that was pretty much him. 33 after the hour, the Kevin Lytle. The, as I should say, Kevin Lytle. Fort Collins, Colorado, one coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado, there's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, joining us now. Kevin, first and foremost, my friend, tell us about this this transfer here, this Ohio Valley Conference Freshman of the Year transferring to Colorado State. According to the socials, Kevin, Rams fans are just through the moon about this pickup.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, you know, God bless fans, though. They'll kind of talk themselves into
They could say Kevin Lytle transferred to CSU, and they'd be like, dude, this guy's legit.
They're like, well, you know, he doesn't have much size or athleticism or skill, but he'll try hard.
He'll try hard.
But, you know, that's, you know, I've joked before, and it's true that, you know, this time of year, every team just added the best transfers, and, wow, they really beefed up their roster. But especially on this one, you can understand the excitement from fans. I mean, Jalen Crocker Johnson played at Little Rock, you know, a school that probably most folks, you know, don't watch a lot of their games, if we're being honest, but played really well as a freshman. He was the Ohio Valley Conference Freshman of the Year, averaged about 10 points a game, about 5.5 rebounds a game. Looks like a guy with, you know, good athleticism, good skill set that also can grow. You know, he has 3 years of eligibility, so I think the hope would be that he can come in and be good right away and continue to get better and better.
So, Kevin, and again, folks, Rams fans, if you have questions for Kevin here, First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I'm seeing, you know, we're looking at Joel Scott comparisons here. Talk to us about that compare. I mean, 6'8", 230 pounds.
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen enough of his game. You know, obviously, I've seen, you know, a few kind of social media clips to know if it's more – if it's that or kind of a different style, you know, obviously similar size and build, but I'm not sure on style. But yeah, I've seen some national folk that, you know, cover, you know, mid-majors like the Ohio Valley say that they think he'll develop into a really good shooter in addition to being, you know, a good paint guy. So, yeah, he seems like a really talented player. You know, I kind of heard from a source of, hey, you know, CSU has a guy on campus this week that they think is a really big addition if they can get him, and then it ended up being Jalen. So, yeah, this is a guy that certainly the staff is excited about.
Okay, so you got Jalen here, and we'll see, but, you know, this has kind of been the Rams' MO the last couple of years, is finding these kind of players that performed really well at a lower level, and then they make that transition. I think the coaching staff has done a phenomenal job of helping those players make that transition. I'm hearing rumors that there's another big name coming our way, Kevin. And again, big, it just depends on who you're talking to, I suppose. But is there another big name that we should be looking out for?
Yeah, so there's certainly another commit coming. You know, I think he's given his commitment to the staff, hasn't publicly announced it. I believe it's a guard from another mid-major. You know, we'll see when he comes out. But yeah, I mean, we're seeing a mix of guys right now, aren't we? You know, there's a guy like Jalen that obviously is for the now, but, you know, in theory for the future as well with, you know, several years. And then you have, you know, a couple really veteran guys as well coming in, which makes sense with kind of how they had to rebuild this roster. I don't want to say from scratch, but, you know, certainly a lot of pieces to fill. So with all these transfer additions, they're really mixing and matching both age and obviously type of skill set.
Kevin, have you jumped into just kind of a way too early preview of what this depth chart might potentially look like for CSU hoops next year?
Not quite yet. I think we still need to see. You know, there, depending on the Nick Clifford decision, there are
sure.
You know, 3 to 4 spots still open. So we need to see who those are. You know, people tend to try and build it based on, you know, kind of an order of who comes in, just because, you know, you get familiar with those guys, but really that's not gonna be how it's built. You know, I think a guy like Jalen Crocker Johnson, you know, on the surface without knowing who else they sign, he seems like a guy that's gonna be a starter, so you would think he's in there. You know, Keyshawn Williams, the guard from Northern Illinois, you know, you kind of wonder if he's potentially your point guard. Ethan Morton's a really intriguing one, the Purdue guard, you know, that seems to be a really good defender, but, you know, struggled offensively there. See where he fits in. But no, I think really it's too early. to start putting together, you know, sort of a starting five or even a top eight rotation until we see who's, you know, who the other guys are. And also freshmen, it's really hard to predict. I mean, those guys aren't even on campus yet. So, you know, even the coaches, yeah, they have ideas, but, you know, they don't know. A guy could come in and be really, really ready to go the way, you know, like an Isaiah Stevens was his freshman year. Or you could have guys that's like, hey, they're talented, but, you know, the college jump up is hitting them kind of hard. So right now I think it's super hard to guess who these, you know, where in the rotation these guys are. Obviously coaches have an idea, but I think even them, if you were to talk to them, they say, no, you know, that's going to be something we start figuring out in June when we, you know, summer workouts begin.
I promise I won't ask the next question will not be who's winning the Rocky Mountain Showdown, okay? I will not pull a Tanner on you today. Kyan Evans, how are we feeling about Kyan Evans right now? I know the staff was really high on him, and we just really, we didn't get much of a sample because Isaiah really never came out of the game. I think Evans was just coming in to give Isaiah a break. So how are we feeling about him?
Yeah, I think we don't know. He's become a curious one. He was, not him himself, but how fans view him, I should say, has become curious to me because, you know, he was pretty highly touted. You know, staff was, like you say, excited about him. But I've had a few people that, you know, probably should know better, so now, you know, I'm out on him. And I kind of cock my head and go, what are you talking about? How can you be out on a guy? Like, he barely played and in a role he'd never been in. You know, you go from being the star and starter in high school to a 4 minute a game guy. I'm not sure how you can make a big analysis of what he is or isn't in that. He obviously will have to learn and grow and do all that. But I don't know, everything I've heard and seen in practices, you know, nothing there has turned me off in thinking the guy, you know, can't become a good point guard at this level. But it is, you know, a big offseason, big summer for him to see how he handles, you know, the ability or the opportunity, I should say, to grow into a much bigger role. So I think it's, you know, it's all to play there for him and see what he can do. He's certainly a talented guy. Like I say, some of those folks that just say, nah, he doesn't have it, I just don't understand where that can come from.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. We just haven't seen enough of him yet. And Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, what has stood out to you in this transfer, you know, this past transfer portal period in the Mountain West, talking specifically basketball, unless, you know, you want to hit us with some football news too, but specifically basketball, because we know how stacked it's been over the years, but we are seeing a few guys hit that portal.
Yeah, it's been tough in a lot of ways. You know, some big names have left. Obviously, Gray Osabor left, which we kind of knew would happen after Danny Sprinkle went out. So that one probably isn't a stunner, but some of the ones that really hurt, you know, Lamont Butler leaving San Diego State, you know, is kind of a blow to certainly them and the league. You know, Udoje leaving at the last minute, Utah State hurt, especially because he had, you know, kind of recommitted, if you will. Then maybe the biggest blow, you know, league-wide is JT Toppin, you know, Mountain West freshman of the year guy, you know, certainly an NBA potential, was going to be, you know, him and Dent were going to be the face of that team. And then him leaving, yeah, that's a pretty tough blow. So that's some really talented guys leaving. But I also think you're seeing some pretty good ones come in, and you're going to see some guy, you know, Donovan Dent, for instance, being one, guys that stay and become real stars. So it's been a mixed bag. Certainly in a lot of ways a tough go in the transfer portal here, but you also don't know who these guys, you know, maybe it's Crocker Johnson, you know, that come in that aren't necessarily a big name, but then become stars here. You're going to see some of that as well. So it's been tough in some ways, but I also think the league is still going to be in pretty good shape.
Kevin, what did you make of the story that came out, I believe, yesterday? I don't know if you've had a chance to really dig into it, but the NCAA potentially going to have to pay over $2.7 billion to settle an antitrust lawsuits right now. And obviously this is stemming from the NIL stuff. What did you make of that if you had a chance to break into it?
Yeah, I haven't had the chance to go in real deep detail on it specifically, so I'll talk a little more broadly. But yeah, it is all just a continuation of how things are moving. I think that, you know, things are and will continue to change, and the NCAA, you know, I've said this multiple times, if the NCAA is going to court, just assume the other side, whatever it is going to win, because the NCAA loses everything when they go to court. So it's going to continue to go this way. I still think that the path we're headed toward is sort of, you know, student athletes as employees of schools, because all of this is untenable right now. Like, you know, we were just talking about the transfer portal. I could tell stories for days about, you know, some of the things I've heard, how coaches are feeling and handling this all. You know, everything is just unhinged right now. And, you know, I've been pretty publicly, you know, an advocate for players, you know, being able to get theirs in a $1 billion industry. I still am, but it's just uncontrollable in every way. And something, you know, there's going to have to be something that changes. And, you know, I think all these type of stories that you're mentioning are all part of it, of all the powers that be going to realize that whether it's the NCAA or something else is going to have to step in and create some control.
Yeah, and I maintain this, Kevin. I still say that 20 years ago, if the NCAA would have started to get out in front of this, then maybe it wouldn't be just it's all or nothing here, because now the transfer portal, you know, it's become, yeah, you can transfer whenever. Maybe if the NCAA would have bent 20 years ago, they could have come to an agreement where it didn't have to go that far to the Supreme Court and all this stuff. It wouldn't have had to escalate to that.
Yeah, 100%. I'm completely with you. You know, I remember I was speaking to a class of students in the fall, and they kind of asked, you know, if I were in charge, what would I do? I'd say, if I were in charge, I would create a time machine and go back. And, you know, even 5 years ago, you know, it was very clear that, you know, some type of, you know, NIL was going to happen. I would go back and tell the NCAA just create guardrails instead of fighting against it. It was so clear to everyone involved that athletes were going to start getting a piece of the pie, which, again, I think they should. So instead of fighting that, why didn't they just create guardrails? And then, you know, there could have been a system in place that, you know, obviously no system's going to be perfect. No matter what, there's always going to be pushback from some side. But there could have been a system in place that would, in most ways, be happy for everyone. But instead, they, you know, basically stuck their head in the sand and said, nope, change is bad. We hate change. It's scary. We'll go to court. And then court, of course, kicked their butt.
Yeah, no question. Very well said by you, Kevin. I know you put together something for us that we can check out perhaps tonight or over the weekend or whenever at the Coloradoan. Kind of a preview of what that depth chart might look like on the offensive side of the ball. So that's a great read there where you break it down. Obviously, we know the strength is going to be Torrey Horton, but now we're going to see, okay, what's next? Is Jackson Warren, you know, the transfer that they got, is he gonna take a big step for this team, be a big part of it like Dallin Holker was? Or do you see a guy like Justin Marshall, who kind of showed flashes at the end of the season on the running back side of things, maybe being a big focal point, even though it's the four air raid thing? We've talked about how running back can really be utilized there, though.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, there's a lot known, but a lot of fascinating question marks on that CSU football team, the offense there. Yeah, Jackson Warren on that depth chart is probably my biggest leap of faith of naming him as, you know, a starter when he's not even on campus. But, you know, that's all the whispers I'm hearing from, you know, camp, is that they really like his skill set. And not that they dislike their group of tight ends, but that no one has really grabbed that spot and done can do everything they want out of it. So, yeah, I think Jackson Warren could step in. The receiver group is, you know, Torrey is going to be Torrey. So that's zero question mark. But beyond him, you know, who are the guys? You know, there are a couple of vets, there are some young guys, you know, they're looking at transfers. They just have Baylor receiver on campus, you know, in transfer recruiting. So that one's TBD. But yeah, it's a group that you can see potential, but yet, you know, you have to figure some things out too.
Well, and you noted, too, some of the guys that that left on the tight end wide receiver side, a lot of production there, either entering the portal or, you know, obviously now finding a new team, or in Dallin Holker's case, heading to the NFL. Kevin, great write-up there. Do you have, and maybe I just missed it, do you have a defensive depth chart that you're putting out that's next?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. That's going to be next. I'll have that early next week, so I'll follow offense with the defense. So early next week, we'll kind of go into that whole defensive unit and where they stand, because kind of likewise, some pre-established pieces, but some pretty significant question marks too.
All right, Kevin, future one. We keep talking about doing this, but when things slow down even more this summer, we got to get you in here. Angel will buy lunch. Maybe. No, maybe not. And then we're going to do this Mount Rushmore thing. We're going to do this CSU Mount Rushmore, football, basketball, maybe overall. So I really want that to be a thing this summer. So just be ready. It's coming.
Absolutely. I'm going to spend some time here in May doing my break it down. I think I have my men's basketball. I think I have that in a pretty good area. Football, I really need to take time. Football's just hard. You know, obviously so many players play that it's tough, but I'm going to work on it. Don't you worry.
I'm looking forward to it, man. I think this will be a blast. Maybe we'll set it up. We could either do it on the show or we could do a full-on podcast, you know, no commercials, unedited, unscripted. Not that this is scripted, but, you know, the whole thing.
I love that. You know, that's a great plan. We can just debate, go through, maybe have some lifts.
I argue
about what's right and what's stupid.
I think it's a fantastic idea. Okay, so we'll start working on that. We'll build that schedule up. Kevin, my man, always appreciate you. Really enjoyed getting a chance to kind of look at that depth chart early on for the offense. I'm a big depth chart guy. It's my favorite thing to look at, so I appreciate you for doing that.
Absolutely.
All right, my man. Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado, and check it out at coloradoan.com. Kind of a preview to what perhaps that offense will look like. 11:52. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Kevin, we just missed this. He mentioned a guard that might be committing to CSU. Well, we just got it. Breaking news. Former Northern Iowa guard. Some interesting connections there. Bowen Bjorn. Born. It could be Born. It could be Bjorn. It could be Bjorn. It's just Born, I think.
Can you spell it?
B-O-R-N. Mm. Probably just Born.
Born.
Sometimes you could do a Bjorn, couldn't you? No.
His first name?
Bowen.
Bowen Born.
Bowen Born. That's kind of a cool name. But he's committed to Colorado State. He just announced on his Instagram. He is, from what Kevin tells us, a sharpshooter. So getting some three-point production coming in for Colorado State. All right, coming up in the second hour of the show, we'll get to the top story of the day. Hopefully a disturbing trend, or hopefully something, a disturbing situation last night does not become a trend in sports. We'll get into the NBA playoffs, kind of a recap there. I don't think we did extremely well in our picks, Angel. We might have picked a couple of winning teams, but I don't know how we did. Sean Keeler going to join me from the Denver Post. We're talking primetime. We're talking Nuggets, T-Wolves. He'll probably issue his official apology to Alexander Georgiev as well, so we'll look forward to that. Buy or sell. And Angel's put something together that I think we're really going to have fun with at the end of the show today. It has something to do with the first round between the Nuggets and the T-Wolves, so I'm excited about that. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Top story of the day coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.